Hey, you got me curious now. I'm still looking.
Blog Talk Radio.
No. It's 2726.
Really?
2700. Yeah. Because if you look at it, if you look at it on the map, I'll give you the address. I'll look at it, you can look at it on the map. It'll be in like an aerial view though. You can see it. It's got like you know, what we paid the most for is the land on it. You know, not
okay.
I mean, we didn't pay more for that, but the land was really like jacked up when we got. You know what I mean? So yeah. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Anthony Joshua. Apparently, he has a new trainer, and we'll give you all the details there. And Dillian White and Tyson Fury have sold over 80,000 tickets in just 3 hours. So we'll have all that news in just a little bit. But first, we're going to get started with ESPN. Jose Ramirez versus Jose Pedraza. Ramirez wins a unanimous decision over Pedraza by the scores of 116-112 all three times. Beeb, I think we kind of expected Ramirez to win this fight. I think Pedraza's kind of on the slide. He's been around for a little bit now. He's not the same fighter he was when, you know, obviously when he first, you know, was winning titles and everything like that. What do you make of Ramirez's performance here?
You know, Ramirez is a good fighter, don't get me wrong, but some of the things he does make it easy for him to get hit, so I think he has some defensive liabilities. So when he's on the outside, he just stays stationary, right? Doesn't really move his head at all. He's not really great at slipping shots from the outside, so he gets picked apart a little bit if there's space between him and his opponent. I noticed that. Now, he does move his head when he's coming forward, but a lot of that movement, to me, is over-pronounced, over-accentuated. It's not like subtle head movement like this. He'll go like this, this, this. So it's almost like his opponent knows where he's going to be because he does it, he almost telegraphs it. He
almost
gives it
rhythmic.
Away.
It's too rhythmic, you know.
Yeah, it's easy to pick up on it because it's so over-pronounced and it's so over-accentuated. It's right. Not like this. So I noticed Postal was getting to him in rounds like 6, 7, and 8. Not Postal. What did I say? Postal? I meant Pedraza.
Pedraza.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. But Pedraza was kind of getting to him in 6, 7, and 8. And there were spots in the rounds where it's almost like he knew where Ramirez's head was going to be. So he threw the punch, you know, ahead of time before it got there. And it's almost like Ramirez moves his head into the punch because because as he's moving forward, he's like leaning in and he's so, you know, predictable with that movement. But then once he does get in there, he is pretty fluid and explosive with his shots. But, you know, I think he's a solid fighter, but I think a slick boxer is always going to beat him. And I think a slick boxer who can move well on the outside, who's got quick feet, who's a counterpuncher. I think counterpunchers eat him up all day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he has a hard time. But he's going to have a hard time, yeah.
Yeah, so I give him credit for his conditioning, his aggressiveness. But as Robert Garcia said, too, you know, he wants him to be a little bit meaner in there. I don't want to say he doesn't have a killer instinct, but he has one gear. You know what I mean? He has one gear, and it seems like he can't kick it up that notch. You know what I mean? And as you said, he's kind of a rhythmic pattern type fighter, right? And I think, you know, he's going to have a hard time beating those quick, slick, cutie style. Like, you know who would I think box circles around him is a guy like Regis Prograis.
I was just about to say that, yep.
Yeah, I think he'd eat him up. I think he'd eat him up. You know what I mean? So he'll do good against these types of fighters, right, Pedraza? Yeah, Postal, another guy who's really good on the outside, who's a great counterpuncher, he went life and death with him, gave him fits. You can even argue he may have lost that fight. It was that close, right? Some people disputed
Absolutely.
That, right? So, even Zepeda gave him fits too, right? Another guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, man, I mean, we talk about this guy, and it's like, you got the guy who only moves one way or can only fight one way. Once they figure you out, your time's done. Once they figure out and you have a guy that can exploit that, that's game over. You know, I mean, it really is. So it's
But do you notice that about him? Like, when he moved, it's like he's moving side to side, but it's so overly exaggerated and pronounced. It's not like he's going like this. He's like this.
Like a pendulum.
And he's like a pendulum.
You know.
So you know where his head's going to be. Whereas if he's going like making subtle movement, it's hard to time that. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you when you hit those Cobra bags.
Yeah.
You know, you can pretty much hit them in a way, and you know where they're going. You know what
like
I mean?
Like a double end bag.
Right. Yeah. Right, and you know where it's going because you're hitting it. You know what
you're hitting.
It's predictable.
Yeah.
It becomes predictable if you do it enough. It becomes predictable. And this is the same way because he's doing the same movements over and over. It's like a guy who just moves to his left all fight or just moves to his right all fight.
And it's not subtle movement.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost telegraphed. It's, I'm not going to say it's almost telegraphed.
It is telegraphed, yeah. So, and Pedraza, again, man, he's on the slide, so maybe he doesn't have enough to take advantage of it. But, again, man, when you start going in there, it's like you start moving up levels, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult.
Pedraza's, strength and overall conditioning and durability gave him problems in this fight because he didn't have enough power and strength to keep Ramirez off him and stop that momentum.
Yeah.
So, that was the issue.
Yeah.
That was the issue.
All right, let's move on to the DAZN card. Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez versus Julio Cesar Martinez, 12 rounds, junior bantamweights. Man, Chocolatito, I don't know. This guy is like the comeback kid, man. Everybody wrote him off after that Rung Vasai, and, man, he has come back with a vengeance, man. Chocolatito beats Julio Cesar Martinez by unanimous decision, 118-110, 117-111, and 116-112. Kind of the story here was the pressure that Chocolatito put on him. I mean, it was constant pressure, constant punches. Martinez is a really good fighter, man, but he had zero to keep Chocolatito off him. I mean, it's a loss for Martinez. The guy's young. Was he have like 20 fights or something like that? And the guy's young, but he wasn't ready for a guy like that. There's a lot of punches being thrown by Chocolatito,
The big difference I said going in, and we broke this fight down on Thursday on the roundtable.
Yeah.
And I picked Gonzalez, and a couple of us picked Gonzalez, but there were a lot of people that were picking Martinez because they keep thinking that any day now Gonzalez is going to get old overnight and he's just going to fizzle out, right? He's going to hit a wall one day, and supposedly every fight is the fight that he's going to hit that wall. Well, it didn't happen, and I didn't think it was going to happen because I looked at the styles, and you're only as good as your last fight, and I didn't think Martinez looked great in his last fight, where I thought Gonzalez most certainly overachieved.
Well, yeah.
We both thought he was not, was going to lose that fight. And I think we both had him losing, but it was the razor close. We thought he was going to get stopped by Estrada, and he could argue that he won. Yeah,
shocking.
Yeah, you could argue that he won that fight. But the big difference here, I thought, was, Martinez is the guy who loads up wide with everything, where Chocolatito is that guy, short, compact. And I'm going to make a very controversial statement. He's arguably one of the most fluid combination punches I've ever seen. He is just a fluid – the way he just flows with those combinations. You know, there's no hitch. There's no torque. It's like boom, boom. It's like smooth shifting. It's like when you got that car with that Hertz shifter in there. You can't even feel the gear. You know, can't even feel that car running through the gears. That's how fluid this guy's combinations are. So I thought, you know, the counter punching, and I thought because he threw the shorter, crisper shots, his punches were going to get in there first, you know, and he was going to punch inside of those long, looping hooks from Martinez. As Martinez is a guy, you know, a lot of people like that style of aggression, and right. They feel as though that type of style can wear somebody down. But the problem with that is leave yourself open for counters. And again, when you shorten up a shot and someone's throwing a wider shot, obviously the shorter shot's going to get there first. And I just felt that was going to be the case. And I thought, before the fight, I picked Gonzalez to stop Martinez in 8 rounds. And he didn't do that, but it looked like in certain spots of the fight, he may have.
It wasn't a far-fetched thing. You know, that's not a far-fetched pick, you know.
And the odds makers had this fight close, and a lot of people thought this was going to be a close fight. I just think style-wise, I just thought style-wise, Chocolatito, his style was going to be a nightmare for Martinez.
Well, Martinez is coming up in weight, no?
Coming up in weight,
Coming up in weight, right? And he missed weight. And he missed weight. That was what got me at the scales, okay? So you're coming up in weight, and then you missed weight, which means you're drying out way too much. Then they gave him time to go out and come back, and he lost like 0.4 pounds or something like that. I mean, it wasn't even close.
He was still 1.4 over, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. And I think before, what was he, 1.8 over or something like that?
2.4, I think.
Yeah,
he lost like another pound.
Yeah, he was completely dry.
I think he was like 2 pounds over, and then he was able to squeeze out like 0.6 pounds.
He was completely dry.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? So there was nothing left to do, you know. And so he came in there. My guess is that he was probably dried out from the weight cut. And, you know, again, man, if you're going up in weight, you should have no problem making that weight.
You would think. But, again, you know, in this era of guys weighing in at 15, like walking around at 15 pounds over their weight class. And
you know, that guy's walking around at 150, you know. I mean, like, really? Like,
yeah.
You know.
If he's walking around at friggin' 130 and he's got to get down to 115, then
that ain't an easy weight cut. Not that small,
no.
You know.
What a shame though, because he didn't make weight, he couldn't fight for that diamond belt.
Oh, Jesus!
What a shame that was, huh?
Yeah. What was that diamond belt even for? You know what I mean? Like,
according to Mauricio Suleiman, it's a trophy belt.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not a real championship.
Oh my God. Those are just like the two back here. You know,
I was just looking at those belts, and I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, what kind of loser just collects dumb belts? You know, that's crazy. You know,
I went to Dairy Queen yesterday, and I ordered a Blizzard, and they gave me a friggin' diamond belt as a trophy.
It was just like a Cracker Jack box, you know, even the prizes you used to get out of those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Martinez is again, man. He's young and everything like that, but he's gonna need a lot more work, man, to be ready for a guy like that. Let me tell you the other way. I think that if you're gonna beat Chocolatito, I don't think a slick boxer really beats him because Chocolatito can box. He's really, really schooled. You know, in my opinion, you got to have power to beat that guy. And I think that they were banking on him, Martinez, having that power. Problem is, man, it's just, you know, I'm sure he was a lot drier than they wanted, and you know.
You almost got a, like, not almost, I think you got a rough Chocolatito up, and you got to fight a real physical, grueling, rugged type fight, and you got to knock him off balance a lot, because counterpunchers, they're looking at picking up on rhythm and timing and everything, and the way you offset timing is you got to knock a guy off balance so he can't time you, right? So you got to force the guy that's timing you to reset, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. When you got a volume puncher like that, you know, a guy with power would be a good bet, and then the other thing would be a guy with really, really solid defense is going to be another one, because those guys can actually dictate the fight. So if you throw a bunch of punches, you know, if he throws big combinations and everything like that, a guy that's really good defensively will reduce you to one and two shots, and that's it.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, man, Chocolatito is something else, man. I'll tell you what. Yeah.
They're talking about him moving up to 118 to fight Donaire. I hate that fight for him. I don't see how he could win that fight, but who knows?
Well, I mean, Donaire's another one. Donaire's another one that, you know, people wrote off and everything like that. And,
yeah,
you know, remember the Guillermo fight where he just got dismantled? And
sure.
Then he goes against Inoue, and Inoue is going to kill that guy. Mm. You know, that's not even a fight. I mean, that's going to go four rounds if it's going to go any. And sure enough, man, that was razor. That was a close fight, too.
115, 113, or like 115, 112 on my card because of the knockdown. But
yeah.
I had a 7-5 in rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
I was utterly shocked
yeah.
as a result of that fight.
I don't hate that. I don't hate Donaire and Chocolatito. I don't hate that.
You don't hate it? Okay. Right place, right time type of fight?
I think so. I think okay. so. I really do. I mean,
gotcha.
You know, Chocolatito still got, he's still got, you know, he's still there. He's not in his prime anymore. He's definitely on the dark side of his career, but he's still got it. You know, he's no pushover.
Mm.
And Donaire the same way. And I think either one of those guys can get old in a given night.
And you got two counterpunches, too, so that'd be interesting. Like a chess
yeah.
match, too.
Yeah. Man, that guy throws so much volume.
Yeah.
He reminds me of like a Calzaghe, you know what I mean? Where he throws just volume.
Mm.
And that's tough to, yeah, those
and
tough guys, man. That pressure style is tough.
Yeah. And what he does too is he like, you know, a lot of those softer shots he uses to open up his opponent, and then he mixes in the hard shots where at times in his career he would try to slug it out and throw everything too hard sometimes, and I think he would fizzle out.
Yeah.
Now he's pacing himself, he's learning that I gotta start fighting like a 34-year-old and not like a 24-year-old.
Right.
And that comes with experience, all you know?
Yeah. So. Oh, for sure. For sure. The undercard here was Mauricio Lara versus Emilio Sanchez. This was a good fight while it lasted. Mauricio Lara wins via third-round KO over Sanchez. Good fight. I mean, good, entertaining. I mean, it was definitely entertaining. You can't say it wasn't. It was definitely entertaining. So we'll look forward to Lara in the future, man. I want to see him again, man. Both those guys were, you know, represented themselves pretty well, I would say.
Yeah.
All right. And that was it this weekend, man. So let's look forward to next weekend here. Let's see what's going on. March 12th, I believe that's Saturday. Yeah, I believe that's Saturday from Nottingham, England, babe. Your old stomping grounds. DAZN. I cannot wait for this fight. I like this. I love this fight. Lee Wood versus Michael Conlan, 12 rounds for Woods, WBA regular featherweight title. On the other card, Miguel Vasquez versus Gary Cully, Terry Harper versus dreaded TBA. That's a lousy undercard. Kid Galahad is actually on the undercard, fourth bill. Fourth one down. Yeah, so, I mean, he's not even in why didn't they put him in the co-main? Jesus.
I don't know.
He's a big name, right? I mean, he's a bigger name than Gary Cully, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so. That's odd, man. Odd booking. And that's pretty much it for next week. Let me see here. Yeah, we were just talking about this before we came on the air, that March is just the drizzling you-know-what for schedules.
But April is...
April stock.
April is nuts.
What do we got? What do we got going on in April?
Okay, let's go.
Golovkin Murata, April 9th. Garcia and Togo, April 9th.
Yeah.
Got Sparrow Smith and Ugas, 16th. Yeah. Tyson Fury, Dillian Waite, the 23rd. Yeah. April's killing. Shakur Stevenson, Oscar Valdez, April 30th. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano. Is that really counts as a fight though?
Come on, Eric, please.
I'm asking, man. I don't know. I'm trying to,
you know,
like
I actually like this Jesse Vargas versus Liam Smith fight, too. That's an interesting matchup.
Jesse Vargas is the one running for Congress or Senate. We're trying to run him down, man. We're in contact with his people. I'm trying to get him on. I'm trying. Doing my best.
What fight you like better, Taylor Serrano or Valdez Stevenson?
Valdez Stevenson. Yeah, I actually like the Kid Galahad fight this weekend better than Serrano.
Oh, come on!
Come on.
I mean, maybe they'll fight in Jell-O or something like that. I don't know. Maybe
oh, cut it out.
Say it.
You'll be in human resources tomorrow.
Make it interesting, you know. A little big pool of Jell-O. Have them in there with some gloves.
Should do a poll in the chat. Which fights better, Valdez Stevenson or Taylor?
Valdez Stevenson. That's a good fight, man. I'm looking forward to that one. What do you think about this Lee Wood Michael Conlon fight?
Good fight, very good fight.
Who is Lee Wood? The one they did that mural on in Nottingham?
Oh,
somebody
I
did like a mural or something
know.
Like that on like a build like a grocery store or like a building almost. It looked like.
I'm not sure, brother.
I'm not sure either, man. But it was insane. Is he the first champ from Nottingham?
I don't know that one either. I can have to. I'm have to
where's my UK people? Where's my UK people? Dale from Chi-Town said I better have the couch made up tonight. Yeah,
you're not gonna get any dessert tonight.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Funny.
Insane. All right, before we go to the news, because that's let's see here. Let's go to Robert. 716. Now, 716 is from Buffalo. Let me go here, but I think he's just listening, though, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes, I think that's the one that just listens. I don't know. Somebody. If you just listen, that's all good. 716, you're live. Yeah, he's just listening. Okay, perfect. Thank you, sir.
All right. You want to go to the rat next?
Cold-blooded man. Ringside Robert 530. You're live.
Hello, and I'm not.
He don't even wait for the intro.
Thank you.
He don't even wait for the intro. He just goes.
Yeah, you're not a rat. You're a little fucking weasel.
Oh, come on, Joe. Give me a break. My mom
awful.
gives me crap because the way you talk, she takes it too seriously, man. So
she takes
I
it too seriously.
Yeah,
Jesus.
She does. She, you know.
What about you? You're always texting us.
That's not what I heard.
Oh,
I heard she's
on.
Sitting there saying worse things in the background.
No. Anyway, no. Great fight last night, man. That was very entertaining. And, I hadn't seen...
Which one, the Chocolatito?
Chocolatito, yeah. I hadn't
yeah.
seen him fight for a while, so I was curious to see what he had left. And it looks like he's got quite a bit left. And I'm happy to see
that.
That
was a young dude he was in there with. That was a young dude he was in there with, like a young
yeah.
up-and-comer
yep.
kind of guy, man. That guy
yep.
was no joke.
That's because Francisco Estrada got COVID. And, you know, I hope they reschedule that because I want to see those two fight again.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah.
I think they will. It depends on where the money is, though, because if the money's with them there, that's where he's going.
Yeah, I know.
Robbie.
Yes.
What are you gonna do with this? What are you gonna do with the Zone now, man? Now that they're charging, they're raising the price. Now that they're charging pay per views, you're gonna be able to buy all these pay per views on the Zone now.
I have to figure that out as it comes along, Beeb. Unfortunately, I've got to
you make a lot of money. I'm sure you could. You make a lot of money. I'm sure you could afford all those pay-per-views.
If I made a lot of money, I'd be living in a better house than what I live in, man. So.
It's not what that house looks like, man. I Googled it. It's a beautiful house. So I don't want to hear you cry poor mouth anymore.
Yeah, well, we don't own it, so we're renters.
Well, what?
So,
that's not what I heard.
That's not what you heard.
Anyway.
Tarek's name's on that deed.
I
checked. Tarek's name is on that deed. I checked.
Yeah, right.
I tell
no,
you,
man.
I'm not getting the Zone, man. I tell you what, I'm not paying that money. I ain't going to do it.
You know what?
I
told Joe earlier this week that you would not pay the increase, and he told
me
I'm not
that. He already bought it. He already signed up for a year. He already signed up for a year. Because what you don't realize is part of our contract here at Ringside Reporter is we get his own memberships. So you don't even realize that. He's always got a membership.
I'm sure that's the case, Bebe. I'm sure that's the case.
You want to see the receipts? You want to see the receipts?
Yeah. Go ahead.
He called him fluffy. He was like, yeah, let's see.
Go ahead and text me and show me the proof, man.
I have no problem showing you the receipts.
No, and Eric, I told him earlier this week that you would not pay the price increase, man. And he told me I was absolutely out of my mind.
And I tell you what, I ain't watching them pay-per-views either. Nope. No, because they're supposed to be free. That's what they said. That's what they said. Oh, you buy this app, you ain't got to pay for anything else. That's it. Done.
Well, one thing I will give DAZN credit for, man, if you're a subscriber and they do offer a pay-per-view, you're going to get a discount.
Oh, come on, Robbie.
Come on.
$20 discount. It's a $20 discount.
You're still crying that you can't watch friggin' Spence Ugas because of you have to pay for Canelo. Come on. So it can't be that big of a discount.
No, actually, I was wrong about that. I've refigured my finances. I'll be getting that one, too. So there we go.
What's that?
Oh, no. Why, because I shamed you into it?
No. I went over my bills, and I found things I could dispose of. So there we go.
Well, you know, once again, you always try to cry poor mouth. Everybody knows what you make. You're rolling in it over there.
Well, if I was rolling in it, I would be living a lot better than what I currently do, Bebe. So go ahead and make up your story you want.
Rob's got
you live in an upscale.
Girls coming
you live in
there
an upscale
all the time. I've heard
stories.
I've heard stories, son.
Yeah.
You live in one of the most affluent areas in California, so I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah, I do. You,
so
you want to talk
Boston
about
Boston accent?
You want to talk about affluent areas? What about you? You live close to Boston. How expensive are things there, man? Come on.
I earned this pal.
Right.
Do you think I didn't work for this?
That's right. You built this place because we know what's going on.
This is years.
Years.
This is years of blood, sweat, and tears.
Tell them about it, Daddy.
You want to take this away from me?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Jesus. My own.
Gives you the right.
Anyway, man. No, we all have to live within our means, man.
All right.
That's right. That's why I'm getting into DAZN.
So.
There we go. We're gonna roll.
The one I'd like to dispose of is ESPN Plus. DAZN covers boxing so much better, man. I wish the people at ESPN would learn from the people at DAZN. So,
dude, you must be out of your mind.
Timothy Bradley gets on my nerves.
Did you hear Sergio Mora?
Oh, yeah,
terrible.
Eric, he's not my favorite either. He's not my favorite. Hey, each network has somebody.
I would take Tim Bradley, and I hate Tim Bradley over Sergio Mora.
Yeah, but you know what I like about the DAZN app? I like the DAZN app better than the ESPN Plus app. It's so much easier to navigate.
Absolutely
it is.
Yeah.
And
I love
that library of fights they have. It's just, I don't know. I like DAZN better, too.
Like Roger from Training Day.
Yeah. All right, guys.
The
catch
old
you
guy
later.
With the money. All right, man. We'll talk to you. You remember that dude Roger on Training Day?
Yeah,
he had the money in the floor.
Hey, he's a fraud, man. Come on.
What's wrong with you?
He's priced 12 months. Meanwhile, he's eating freaking caviar and freaking filet mignons every night.
He said his mom was mad at us because I guess she takes things too seriously. I was like, dude, you're the one texting us, fun. Oh, my goodness. It's all love, Robert. Just relax, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
Treat everybody the same here.
Right.
Oh, that's uncalled for. What's the matter? Stop.
You like when they took Roger's pension? They smashed up the floor and they took all his money?
They took his pension? His, you know, P pension. Like he got that from like, you know, like he got that from the dealers or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, it was like he was selling drugs. I mean, $4 million. What do you have? $4 million under there? They took $1 million.
Robbie's got housekeepers over there, man. He's got caretakers. He's got people cooking for him over there. He's sitting there complaining about money, man.
I heard the girls he picks up are cold blooded too, boy. That's what I'm
my hearing. Honey, you think my honey dips are friggin' on point? We put on a friggin' Cali over there, man.
Yeah, right in California too, man.
Yeah, he lives in Cali.
Right on
the
beach, man.
He doesn't have to deal with this snow, this friggin' 13 degrees. Waking up in the morning, you got icicles hanging from your nuts. He doesn't have to deal with this shit.
He doesn't have to deal with this shit. Hate the cold. It's starting to get warmer, though.
Starting to get warmer.
I love
it. Yeah, but it's 60 today, and then freaking Wednesday, it's going to be 30 again. What the fuck is that all about?
Hate it.
Crazy.
Unreal. Unreal. Who asked this? Let me see if I can find this question again. It was about Canelo. Notorious asked, he says, why didn't Canelo fight Better Beef? Who the heck wants to see Bivol trying to decision fighters? I think it could have just been who was open. You know what I mean? I think that could have just been who was open at the time. I would have liked to see him. I'll be honest, man. I would have liked to see him fight Charlo and Benavides. I think those were two good fights.
So you like that one? You like that?
I like that one much better than Bivol and Triple G. That Triple G fight does.
I don't like the Triple G fight, but I like the Bivol fight.
I like the Bivol fight too. Listen, Bivol's a tough guy. That's not a walkover fight. It's not but again, like Charlo's a bigger name than Bivol though. He just is.
Yeah, I'm just not
He's
sold
a lot
on Charlo.
Bigger name. We may not be sold on Charlo, but it's definitely a bigger fight than Bivol. But again, we go back to it. Go back to what Robert Garcia said. It doesn't matter, when he was talking about Ryan Garcia. He said, it doesn't matter who they put him in there with. Then 90% of those people are going to see Canelo. They're not going to see a fight like, they don't care.
Oh, did you see when he was in the ring and they were interviewing him, how the crowd went crazy last night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. That guy, he's the guy in boxing right now.
I think Bivol is better than both Benavides and Charlo as a fighter.
I think he is, too. Yeah, I think he is, too. I don't think there's any question. And it's definitely a tougher fight than the other side. But again, it's for like star power and everything like that. I think the other side was better.
You could be right.
Boxing with Sean said he got paid more by DAZN. Yeah, he really did. Believe it or not, because I know that the first numbers for those contracts came out, and again, we don't know because we're not in the room what the contract actually was. But we heard the number from DAZN like $80 million and $100 million from Al Haymon or whatever. Now whether that's accurate or not, I don't know. But there's also a third fight in the mix with DAZN where he could make up to $160 million or something.
They're saying three fights, $160 million. So three fights, $160 million, you do the math, man.
Well, look, man, how in the world, how are you going to get that amount of money out of at least two of those fights? But, Chakal was telling me that the Triple G fight was big.
Yeah.
Big in Mexico. Like, a lot of people still
want
to see
it. A lot of people want that fight, man.
Yep. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. All right. Let's go to the news and rumors here. We're going to start off with this here. This is crazy, man. Russia. As you know, the whole Ukraine thing is unfolded here. Was it been like 8 days or 11 days or something?
It's been a little while.
It's been a bit.
A little bit over a week, yeah.
Still over there fighting. I expected Russia to take over that place in like 3 hours. They're still over there fighting. Keystone Cops over there. Russia puts a hit on both Klitschko brothers. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
So according to reports, Russia has put out a mercenary team to take out both Klitschkos. Why don't you put out a mercenary team to take Kiev? How about that? If I was Klitschko's, I wouldn't be too worried about anything, man, because them guys don't seem to be able to get anything together over there. It's insane. The fact that they're having a lot of trouble. That's all we heard. That's all we heard is how big this Russian army was, how powerful this Russian army was. They're getting killed over there. They're getting stomped over there. And they'll win because they got more people, and they're coming in, but I mean, at what cost? Because they're losing a lot of people too.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there, because who knows? Who knows, really? Because there's only so much that's going to be revealed to us anyways, right?
Right, yeah, you don't know. Yeah,
I don't know what's going on. I really don't know.
If you watch the news, you still don't have a clue, because they don't have a clue.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't have a clue.
No. How much stuff has been on there that's been false so far?
Yeah,
you know, like this going on or that going on, it's all been nonsense, you know.
Can't believe anything that the media is telling us right now. All of it has to be questioned.
Yeah. Stephen 47 said the Russian military has been embarrassed in Ukraine. That's putting it lightly. You know, they have been embarrassed. Yeah, you could say that again.
Yeah.
Alexander Usyk, who's also over there defending. Look, we got both Klitschko's. All right, both Klitschko's. World champions, former world champions. You have Alexander Usyk over there, current heavyweight champion. And then Lomachenko, one of the best fighters out there, former champion. It's insane, right? How many are
crazy
coming from the Ukraine, right? That being said, Alexander Usyk is not sure if the Anthony Joshua fight will take place. He said because, you know, he's over there fighting. He's in the squadron over there, so it's not like he can exactly train. There's no way when is that fight supposed to take place? May?
They were saying they were going to push it back to June.
There ain't no way that fight takes place.
Yeah.
He'll be there until he'll be there until they're taken over or that thing ends.
It's a mess, isn't it?
It's crazy. And for a guy, I want you to think about this now. Let's take it even one step further. For a guy who makes the kind of money Usyk makes, because you know he makes good money, and Lomachenko makes good money too. Those two Klitschko's made a boatload of money. They still make a lot of money with appearances and everything like that. As the governor, what is it, Vitaly's like the governor over there in Kyiv.
I think he's the mayor.
The mayor, you're correct. Yeah. All that stuff going on. And these guys, that president Zelensky, dropped everything. Didn't care about the money, said, we are going to fight. That's what he said. He said, we are going to fight. And they dropped their lifestyle. They dropped the big house. Everything they got, families, everything went to the side, and they went to Ukraine to defend this.
I'll be honest. I was surprised they did that.
I'm shocked.
I give them credit for doing it.
I give them all the respect in the world.
Doesn't matter what side you sit on here politically, but what they did was incredible.
For sure. Who else?
And it's not,
you know,
not very many
people.
Yeah, and spoiler, they're on the front lines. Yeah, they're on the front lines.
On the front lines, right. So. You got the Klitschko's got hit squads coming after them, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Hope everything works out, man.
I just want them to be safe, you know. Like I said, I just want them all to be safe, and I want, you know.
I just feel bad for people.
For the end of this, man.
I just feel bad for people, like Russian people who are living in the United States, who really have nothing to do with this. And what the sanctioning bodies are doing to these fighters who are of Russian descent.
So talk to me about this a little bit now. I've heard, you know, are they – so the Russian fighters are not being sanctioned now or what?
They're not. Here's the thing.
They won't have any title fights in Russia, that much I know.
They're taking the Russian fighters out of the rankings, and they are not allowing them to fight for titles. And from what I heard – the WBC and the IBF and the WBO, I think they're stripping those champions, but the WBA is allowing fighters who are Russian that hold the titles, they're allowing them to hold on to them, but they're not allowing Russian fighters to fight for titles now, which is to me is very bigoted, because you're assuming any fighter of Russian descent is on board with what's happening. And
right.
Dmitry Bivol came out and said in an interview, he goes, I have friends in Ukraine and I have friends in Russia.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm not a politician, so I don't speak on politics, just like I'm not a scientist, so I don't speak on COVID. All I can speak on is athletics, because I'm an athlete. So a lot of these, you know what else they're doing too?
Well, how does he fight Canelo then?
Well, the WBA is allowing title holders to keep their belts, but they're not ranking Russian fighters anymore, and they're not allowing Russian fighters to fight for titles now.
So what happens if he beats Canelo and he doesn't get the titles?
Well, he's a WBO.
That's right. He's Canelo
WBA champion. He's a WBA champion at light heavyweight. Yeah.
I gotcha.
I know what you mean. But to me, that's prejudice. You know, it's just like this. You know, like when all the COVID stuff was going on, and Asian people here in the United States, you know, like Chinese people, most certainly, right? They were being discriminated against because of the coronavirus, right? But we were speaking out against that, obviously, as we were rightfully should have, because they're not linked to that.
Right.
So why are we automatically linking these Russian boxers and athletes? You know what else they're doing too? Like Russian entertainers and Russian personalities or whatever, they're demanding that they come out and speak out against Putin, or they won't allow them to perform and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's crazy too. Did you hear about the Paralympics? You know, the Paralympics is kind of like special events, but it's for like for if you're handicapped or whatever.
I get it. Yeah.
They can't compete there. Russian athletes can't compete there, and I'm like, that's kind of crazy because that's kind of crazy because I mean those guys like I don't know. I mean
they have nothing to do.
I don't know. The Olympic athletes, I can see, because they were all cheating. That to me, that's a different animal, you know, for the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics. They were all caught cheating. You can watch that documentary, Icarus, or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's insane. I don't get it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, are we supposed to just assume that all of these Russian people are on board with what Putin's doing and they subscribe to that same political ideology? We don't know that.
We don't know. Maybe there are. Maybe they're not. But,
you know,
I don't see too many Russians going back there and fighting on the front lines, you know.
So let me ask you this.
So if they don't do that, then they don't believe in it, you know.
Because we invaded Iraq where our American fighters can't be ranked and sanctioned too. I mean, like every time there's a political conflict or there's a war going on, what are we going to do? Who's ever involved in the war, they can't, you know, who's ever country is involved in the war. We're going to punish the people that are from, like, that have that descent from that country.
Yeah.
Bibo doesn't even live in Russia anymore. He lives in the United States.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing too, man, is that like they've really cracked down. I mean, I've never seen anybody get singled out like this.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, they really singled
everything
Russian out. You know what I mean? They singled everything Russian out.
Yeah, this Russian hate is ridiculous, man.
I don't like the fact that they can't fight for titles or they're stripping them of titles or whatever. I understand. Listen, don't have any sanctioned fights in Russia. I get that, 100%.
Yeah, I get that. I'm on board with that.
But to ban the Russian fighters, I mean, for what? They didn't do anything.
Space, bro.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
And I'm going to continue to speak out against it.
That's not
although this probably doesn't mean much coming from me, but I'm going to continue to voice my opinion on it because I'm disgusted by it.
You know, just like the Paralympics. The Paralympics got me because, again, you got people in wheelchairs competing and everything like that. Like, that, come on. That doesn't...
Yeah, that's pure xenophobia. No other word to describe it. Bigotry.
It is. It is. 100%.
Sorry.
It's not good.
It is.
All right, let's talk about this, man. This was a crazy incident that happened this week. Guillermo Rigondeaux was involved in an accident here in the kitchen. Guillermo Rigondeaux lost roughly 80% of his vision following an accident involving a pressure cooker late Thursday afternoon at his Miami home. This was told to ESPN. The 41-year-old Cuban was cooking Cuban black beans when something went wrong, causing the pressure cooker to explode. The boiling water splashed into his eyes, his manager said, leaving him with two severely burned corneas. His chest was burned as well. He is starting to get some of his vision back slowly. Looks like it is coming back now. How much of it he gets back, I don't know. Listen, I don't care if he fights again. Nobody's worried about him fighting again. I mean, just hope he makes a full recovery because this is a lot. You know, I mean, this is a lot bigger than that. But we were talking about those pressure cookers before the show, and it sounded like you said that the one he was working with was like an old style,
something like that. From what I heard,
I don't
know. Yeah. You know, the good thing too though is if the corneal abrasions are bad enough, they can do what's called a corneal transplant. And the way they do that is someone's an organ donor. You can get their corneas that were, you know, if they can, you can use the corneas from someone who's an organ donor or whatever. And they can, that type of operation is highly successful. So if
worst case scenario, if they have to go that route, there is you know, some procedures that can help him, you know, so just to, you know, shine a ray of hope on this situation. There is some stuff out there that could help him procedure wise.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even imagine like the pain he went through when that water, I mean,
that
is hot, man.
I feel bad, bro. I really do.
Well, I was telling you, like, the newer type of pressure cookers, you put it on and it locks, and then the pressure keeps it in place, so it's not popping off or anything like that. I mean, a lot of times they won't even get started unless it's locked, you know. There's a lot of safety mechanisms on them and stuff like that, so craziness, man. Craziness.
Robbie just texted and made a good point. He said, speaking of people that made a full recovery, how about David Diamante? Yeah, David Diamante looks good.
Yeah.
The ring announcer.
Yeah, he was in a motorcycle accident, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had some vertebrae in his back were damaged or broken or something. He had to get like a bone operation there in his back. My friend just recently got his neck operated on. He had two discs in his neck that were compressed, and he had to get them removed. And what they actually do now is they put artificial discs in your neck now.
It's crazy, isn't it?
The technology they have, man.
Oh,
crazy.
It's nuts, right?
Yeah, he's got some. I forget them. It's like a plastic, like a graphite. They put these graphite discs in your neck, and they take out the damaged ones because he's having pain in his neck.
Ooh, did you see the one documentary, that Ronnie Coleman documentary on Netflix?
Yeah.
And they showed the spine, and they showed,
yeah,
like, I mean, he had like a bar. It looked like a bar with a bunch of screws, and they said,
yeah, he got two rods on each side of his spine trying to hold it in place. Meanwhile, this guy's laying on a fucking leg press machine still trying to fucking leg press 1,000 pounds. Like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
The guy, yeah.
And then he's blaming, you know what he's saying? He's like, they didn't do the operation right because the screws keep popping out.
Yeah, the screws keep popping out. Yeah, he's over there lifting like 10,000 pounds on his legs, talking about the screws are popping out. Like,
what the fuck is wrong with this
guy?
They
told him not to lift. They specifically told him not to lift. So the body wasn't made to lift the kind of weight he's lifting.
Yeah, he's got to stop, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. He's still huge. Like, as old as he is now and as much as he's been through, like, he's still huge.
Yeah, he still retained a good amount of muscle mass.
Do you think he still takes steroids right now?
No, I think he's on TRT.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's got to be on TRT. HRT, TRT.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these guys. Once you go on steroids like that, your testosterone is fucking fucked for life. So if you abuse steroids, you're going to either have to go on HRT or TRT for the rest of your life.
I think I told me so, like, your average testosterone is from, like, say, 300 to 1,000. That's a normal range. He said when you're on, like, steroids, like Tren and all that other stuff, it could go up to, like, 3,000. They said, like, three times. Think of that.
Beebs at 600 right now, man.
Beebs at 600?
With no roids.
Why is it surprising that you knew your number? You know what I mean? Like,
I had to find out, man. I had to find out. A couple of my girlfriends were asking me.
They were asking me.
They wanted to know why I was so good.
They wanted to know why you're so tired. You know? Like, how can you be so tired?
I'm not even going to lie to you, though. You know why I got a check one time? Because I was feeling kind of tired and shit and sluggish,
yeah.
But I have a tendency to overtrain, too.
Yeah.
I do a lot of walk. I do like,
yeah, you do a ton of walking, right?
I'll start walking, and I'll just, before I know it, I'll be like 2 hours will be down, or two and a half hours, and then I just be like fucking, I already put like fucking eight miles in the bank, you know?
Right.
But yeah.
Craziness, man.
Beep.
How come you keep falling asleep, Beeb?
How come when you're done and I'm not done, we can't keep going? It's always about you. I heard all the lines.
You heard all the lines?
You heard them all.
when I tell him I got to go, I guess I got to get up for work tomorrow.
I got to split.
I'm double parked. I got to leave.
I'm double
parked. On to the next one.
All right. Triple G versus Ryota Murata, scheduled for April 9th in Japan. Steve, I like this fight better than I like the Canelo fight, obviously.
I do.
But I'll tell you what, this is no pushover fight. Both these guys, man, listen, this fight could go either way because I believe that both of these guys are, right on the tail end. I really do. And Murata apparently is like a rock star in Japan, so this is going to be a big fight over there. It ain't going to be no easy task.
What's crazy? They already got this Canelo fight penciled in for September. This fight is supposed to be an afterthought for Triple G. Does everyone forget that Devrinchenko fight that Triple G had?
Listen, Murata doesn't suck. Yeah. It's not like Murata sucks. I mean, this is a good fight. I mean, and again, how much motivation is really here for Triple G in this fight?
The big payday, I'll tell you that.
Let me ask you this, okay, so because I hate that Triple G fight with Canelo if it comes down the pike, but does Triple G just have that style? Do these two just have that style that's just going to make a good fight regardless?
Well, you have to ask yourself this. Look how different the second fight was from the third. From the first.
Big difference.
So now how's this third fight going to look?
Yeah, but then we thought the same thing about Wilder and Fury, and look how that turned out,
It was still pretty one-sided, though.
Yeah, it was. I can't lie.
And then this fight's going to be at 168.
Yeah, Triple G's not used to that.
Yeah, so.
Murata's a big guy, man. Yeah.
Murata's an Olympic gold medalist, and he can punch. I second that, yeah.
Yeah. Sly Tennessee says his reaction time is way off. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I just can't envision seeing Triple G be anything remotely close to what he was in that first fight with Canelo.
No.
I just can't see it. I just can't see it.
No.
How old is he now? Almost 41?
Maybe.
He can't be getting better. Canelo can still be getting better. He can't.
Yeah. Well, Juan Holguin says that if Canelo knocks out Triple G, it'll be worth every penny just to see it. So a lot of people, a lot of people want to see that fight.
Yeah.
That's what your call was telling me, is that a lot of people in Mexico want to see that fight.
A lot of people in Mexico want to see Canelo actually knock him out.
Yeah.
That's what they want to see.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the big news this week, man. This is insane, Beeb. So Tyson Fury and Dillian Whyte has sold over 85,000 tickets in just 3 hours when they opened. Frank Warren just completely sold out. Frank Warren is going to have more seats put in, I think. I guess they're going to release some seats. He thinks it'll be over 100,000 watching the event. 100,000. And meanwhile, they had a whatchamacallit presser. Dillian Whyte, of course, didn't show up. I guess everybody expected. Eddie Hearn, get a hold of your guy, man. Seriously, get a hold of it. You're his promoter, you're his guy, get a hold of this thing.
Well, it is what can happen, too. Because the fight, to me, the fight's a can't miss, no matter who does what. It's going to fucking probably be the biggest fight in UK history.
Yeah.
Right? I just think it will be. I think it's going to do well over 1 million pay-per-view buys over in the UK. I think it has the potential to do about 300,000 over here. My number is going to say that it does at least 200,000. I'm cautiously optimistic that it could potentially do 300,000.
Yeah. I don't think it does much more here.
Yeah. It's a tough sell here.
Over there.
But we'll see.
Because
we thought Fury Wilder was going to be a tough sell. And look what that second fight did. And look what that third fight did. They did 850 and they did 650. So,
ooh. What is the price? What is the price on the pay-per-view in London, I wonder, or in the UK, I'm sorry?
$25-$30.
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was the same price as over here.
No.
Or do they got, deals with, Sky or whatever? You know what I mean?
Well,
the
difference between us and them is they pay more for their cable subscription than we do,
mm-hmm.
and we pay way more. Yeah, Their pay-per-views are like $25-$30, bro. Yeah, they're dirt cheap. Their tickets, like for a fight of this magnitude, if it was in the United States, the ringside tickets would be like $5,000.
Oh,
the
ridiculous,
highest,
yeah.
The highest price ticket over here is like $2,500.
Right.
So the price point over here compared to over there, when you looked at that Klitschko fight, They did 90,000, right?
Yeah, 25 pounds, yeah.
Yeah. They had 90,000 seats in that stadium, right? The live gate for that fight was 11 million. Now look what Wilder and Fury did with a live gate of like 16,000. They did like 27, like not 27. I think they did not, and they had a $19 million live gate, which was the largest heavyweight gate in Las Vegas. So think about this. They had 90,000 people in a stadium, and they were Wilder and Fury were a smaller arena with 16,000 people. How does that, you know, the 16,000 seat arena does 19 million and that does 11 million. So just the price points are just dramatically different.
Let's see here. The kids back says, Wembley only holds 90,000. I heard they can ask the council to extend the seats, but didn't know they could push it to 100,000.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they could.
That's coming from Frank Warren, not us. So
again, he's going to ask if they could put more seats. They do have the ability.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to put seats down at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like down at the thing. But yeah, he's right. 90,000 is capacity.
I don't know how they're going to be able to squeeze 10 more thousand in there though.
I don't know either. No, I can't. I mean, how many seats can you actually put on that field? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to be able to squeeze 10,000 more seats in there. It's a lot of seats.
I guess if there's a way to do it, they're going to be able to do it.
They'll figure it out.
You know?
$27 for a pay-per-view in New Zealand? That's amazing.
That's insane. That is insane, man.
And that's HD.
Yeah, guys, if you like what we're doing, make sure to hit that like button down there. Helps us out, you know, that kind of stuff. All right, so let's talk about this. I tell you what, I love this fight. Just signed for March 26th, Tim Zhu versus Terrell Gachet.
Great fight.
On March 26th. I would have liked to see Zhu fight Charlo. He actually offered to fight Charlo when who was it that got hurt? Who was he fighting? I'm sorry. Slipped my mind here.
Castano.
That's Castano. Right. Yeah, he actually offered to fight him, and Charlo turned him down. So there you go.
Yeah.
Oscar De La Hoya spoke with CBS Sports this week and claimed that Ryan Garcia could fight Canelo one day.
I don't see it. You know,
Oscar
funny?
Is his own worst enemy. He really is, man.
These guys that think Canelo's going to ever go back down to 160 again, what world are they living in?
Yeah.
There's no way Ryan Garcia ever fights at 168. There's no way.
No.
Too small, bro.
Too little. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
That fight could never happen.
Oscar's
impossible.
An airhead, man. He really is.
And then I heard Charlo said, oh, well, I fight at 160. Why can't Canelo come down to 160 to fight me? Like, what world is, like, what planet do these people live on? Why would Canelo ever go back down to 160? For what reason?
Right.
What reason?
It was a hard cut for him, you know?
Of course. That makes no sense.
No. Makes no sense at all. Speaking of Canelo. Check this out, B. He's opening up a taco shop in San Diego.
Wow.
Canelo asked his brother to open up a taco shop in San Diego. They've got one in Mexico now that he owns because apparently he didn't like the tacos in San Diego. It's not that he didn't like the tacos. He said that he likes his, you know, he likes them a certain way. They're not like the ones you get in Mexico. So he just opened up a taco shop.
I heard he's got, like, gas stations in Mexico, too. Like, he's got a lot
I'm sure he has a lot of diversity. Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah, you're not gonna hear stories of any tax organization from Mexico coming after him or the United States coming after him.
Mayweather's probably got all his money in the duffel bags in his closet and everything like that. Like,
probably like that guy from friggin' Training Day. He's got it under the floor.
Yeah, like Scarface when they had all the money in the duffel bags and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Cut it out.
Okay, so I think it was last night. I think this was last night. Canelo had some words to say about Ryan Garcia. I don't know if this was on DAZN or not. I just read this. He said, quote, "I have nothing to say about Ryan. Just check the facts. Eddie Reynoso is the best trainer in the world. This kid hasn't been coming to the gym, so whatever. It doesn't really matter. My opinion is that I don't like that type of stuff. I don't like ungrateful people." Wow. Yeah, that's rough, man. That's rough. Yeah. And you know what? Ryan's another one of those guys. Ryan's another one of those guys, man. Like, you know, if you're going to go to, like, you know, Reynoso's gym, I'm sure they train pretty hard. Like, you know, I mean, it's not easy stuff, man.
Why can't you just walk away and not have to say anything?
Right.
Look, what did you think was going to happen if you took shots at Reynoso and you're trying to clap back at Canelo right now? You're not going to win that. You're not going to win that argument. No one's going to sit there and side with you in that argument based off of what's out there right now. Canelo is the best fighter in the world right now, right? And Reynoso is arguably the best trainer in the world right now. Just one coming off trainer of the year.
Yeah.
Canelo's coming off fighter of the year. And we're going to listen to someone who hasn't fought in almost 2 years. I don't know what he thinks. You know what he thinks the end game is there. I don't know what his motive is for talking. Just you switch trainers, just move on, and just move forward. Why do you have to take shots?
Did he have to take a shot at Reynoso saying that he wasn't the you know, he didn't have time for him and all that other good stuff? Listen, it's a whole camp there. It's a whole camp there. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know what you got into when you got into it, and you got into it. So, and just say, hey. All you have to say, go to Reynoso and say, hey, you know, or, you know, go to the team and say, hey, look, man, this isn't for me. I'm going to go be with Goosen or whatever. Just a little bit different dynamic over there is what I want to do. Think it's best for me. But instead he goes on to Twitter and, you know, social media and does this whole diatribe. You know, it's like, dude, knock it off.
Then he says, I showed up at the gym when I wasn't feeling right mentally. And I stayed for 20 minutes because I just – didn't feel like I should be there. I was going through stuff, whatever. They always tell people, you know, I've spoke to many therapists and they say like working out is great therapy for
depression and everything else. It's a thing.
What does Tyson Fury say? He goes, I train twice a day, just not just for my body, but it's not even for my body. It's for my mind.
Sure.
You know, I talk to people all the time and they say, this is, you know, everyone thinks this is for your body, and obviously it is for your body, but I do this more for my mind. So if you're feeling down, what else would you want to be doing except, like, you know, I would love to, like, go to the gym. I go to the gym when I'm not feeling good. I love going to the gym because I leave the gym feeling better because it's like when you exercise, you release endorphins.
Right.
Right? And what do endorphins do? Those are the feel-good hormones, right? So I don't understand. Like, would you rather just be sitting at home doing nothing, or would you rather be at a gym working out? And no one's saying you got to go in there and spar. No one's saying you got to go in there and kill yourself. Just do some conditioning work. Why would you not want to go in there and shadow box in the ring, shadow box in the mirror, skip some rope, hit the double end, hit the speed bag? Like, exercise.
I think, you know, he's got some real serious depression, though. I really do. I don't. This isn't like just a flash in the pan kind of going through a depression.
I think he's got anxiety. I think he's got anxiety.
I think he's probably got the whole gambit. I really do. Because if you're at the gym already and, you know, you still don't feel like working out, that's and you know it's going to help you. He knows it'll help him. But, again, when you have that depression, sometimes you do things that aren't rational. You try to rationalize things that just aren't rational. You know what I mean? So it's – I get it, man. I get it. But I don't think changing trainers – I don't think changing trainers is the way to go. I don't think that, you know.
I just hate the blame game, you know.
Right.
I just hate it.
Right.
This guy's trainer. Now, obviously, I've never trained with Eddie Reynoso, so I don't know what goes on in that camp.
Right.
But all I have to do is look at the results. Look at the world champions that are being trained. And look at the fact that no one else is complaining but you. Right?
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, he's also a young kid. You know, and maybe a little privileged. I don't know, but
Win a world title, and then maybe you'll get more attention. Fight more, then maybe you'll get more attention.
Why is a trainer going to invest in someone who's not investing in themselves?
That's a big deal, man.
Right?
That is a big deal. Yeah, for sure.
Like every show, when Robbie was complaining about the zone, we offered to get it for him. And he wouldn't take our offer.
Oh.
He kept trying and trying and trying and trying. Right? Why he's on the couch right now.
Stop it. God darn it, Beeb.
Sorry.
You always got to take things too far.
I'm sorry. Lois, I know. I know, Lois. I know.
HR. What about that? How come you're not getting any? I got to talk to HR every week about something dumb I said about women.
He's not an employee anymore, man.
So you can just talk about anybody?
Well, I mean, within reason, of course.
Within reason.
See if I get any texts from him now.
I know, I was waiting for him to come in.
Waiting for him to attack, you know. But I mean, we could lead a horse to water like we were doing every week with Mr. Herrick, but we couldn't make him drink, could we?
God darn it. Matter with you. All right. Anthony Joshua has a new trainer. So after the whole whirlwind American tour visiting 16,000 gyms here in America, looking for, that's what I felt like. You remember that movie Coming to America when he's looking for his queen or whatever? Yeah, he's looking for a new bride, so he goes to Queens and he's, you know, doing the circle. That's what it reminded me of. He comes halfway, you know, like halfway around the world to find a trainer. Joshua said his new trainer is Angel Fernandez. Who? Who is Angel Fernandez? Angel Fernandez is the assistant trainer who seems to have been promoted. He was with Joshua for about 3 years.
Yeah.
But he's just his assistant trainer, so now he's kind of the main trainer taking the reins. And, you know, listen, man, I don't know the guy's credentials, and who cares? I mean, the important part is that Anthony Joshua feels comfortable with him. You got to feel comfortable with your trainer, man. That's the bottom line.
Eddie Herm is being interviewed, and he said that they may be adding some more people too. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. And someone was talking to me on Instagram. They messaged me, and they're like, "Why? How come we don't know what's going on with Anthony Joshua? How come we're taking so long to get this information? Blah blah blah." But if we look at the history of Anthony Joshua, he's not a guy that really talks that much. He pretty much keeps to himself until he has the fight signed. He doesn't talk that much.
Yep. He always
That's his personality, right?
Yeah, for sure it is.
He's not an attention whore.
Yeah. The kid's back just says basically the same team, just no Rob McCracken. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I think that's good. I think there needed to be a change there. I think there definitely needed to be a change.
Yeah, Rob McCracken's taking a lot of heat for that.
I would like to see, you know, I tell you what, I would like to see Joe Goosen train Anthony Joshua for a fight.
Yeah?
I think Joe Goosen could do, remember he had Diego Corrales, bigger, taller guy. You know, really, obviously you'd like to see Manny Stewart, you know, back in the day, what he could have done with Joshua. But I don't know, is Joshua, you know, you got to wonder, is Joshua like Jermaine Taylor in the sense that, but I've seen him adapt. We've all seen him adapt, so we know he's not like that, you know, but we've seen him adapt.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to give Joshua the benefit of the doubt. You know, I don't think it's fair sometimes to write a guy off.
No.
But we'll see what happens. We'll see.
And, you know, Usyk, I mean, that, you know, like I said, losing to Usyk is not, there's no shame in that.
Yeah, Usyk's a great fighter, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there's no shame in that. That guy's a pretty decorated guy, you know, so yeah, definitely no shame in that. And he lost to, you know, like I said, when he lost to Ruiz, he came back and he fought a beautiful fight. And I mean, the fact that Ruiz came in out of shape, listen, that's on Ruiz, nobody else.
Do you think Wilder will come back? I think he's going to retire.
Listen, something with Ohio Runs Boxing was talking about this, and he kind of floated this out there. It wasn't like, you know, a fact or anything. He was just floating it out there. He floats out topics, you know. And he said, what about stripping Usyk of the belt and giving Wilder the shot? So it's like maybe Wilder against Anthony Joshua, and then we get that Wilder-Joshua fight. then I thought, I was like, well, you can't really strip the belt from Usyk because he's over there fighting. You know, he's at war right now. But if we strip the belt, why would we give Wilder a shot at it? He's lost both fights, two fights, by vicious knockouts. He doesn't deserve the title shot right now. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. Those belts would be fractured, so they would only be able to fight for one of the belts.
Right.
And I don't think Wilder's ranked in the other sanctioning bodies. I know he's ranked by the WBC. I'm not sure if he's ranked in any other sanctioning bodies.
What was he talking about doing? He's doing some ayahuasca or something like that, or some kind of drug.
Yeah.
Himself and figure out what he should do next. Listen, if you don't know what you should do next, then it's time to go. You know what I mean? Like, if you're on the fence on retiring, you got to retire because you're either all in this game or you're not all in. There's only one way to be, and that's all in. That's it.
One of my favorite trainers in boxing right now who I like is I like Buddy McGirt. I'm a big fan of Buddy McGirt. I think he's a pretty good trainer.
Yeah, McGirt's a very good trainer, a very good fighter. You know, he was a very good fighter back in the day. As far as Anthony Joshua goes, who would you like to see him train? I like Gustin,
huh?
I like Gustin. You know who else I like for him? And I think he's got that style because he likes to fight. Is Robert Garcia?
You like Robert Garcia?
I think him or Robert Garcia. I don't think he can go wrong with those two.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
So if you were in charge of Anthony Joshua, who would you point him toward?
I like Buddy McGirt, man.
You like Buddy McGirt?
I like what Buddy McGirt did with Callum Smith. I like what Buddy McGirt did with Derek Chisora. Like, Buddy McGirt got some good performances out of Derek Chisora.
Yeah, he did.
Look at the fight with Usyk and look at the fight with the other fight there with Parker, the first one. And then he wasn't there for the second fight because he didn't bring him over, right?
Yep.
And look what happened. It's a big difference.
Huge difference. McGirt is very good.
McGirt's a very
good trainer. Yeah.
You know what I like about McGirt is because he's very instructive in the corner. He doesn't just say vague things. He doesn't just tell you what to do. He tells you how to do it. You know what I mean, Phil?
I watched the UFC card last night, Covington and Masvidal. And there was a guy, it was on the undercard, and the guy went back to his corner, was in a little bit of trouble, you know, lost a round. This guy proceeded to give him 50,000 directions. And I'm like, dude, there is no way he's hearing. You got to give him two directions tops.
Yeah.
That's all you can process. When you're under duress and fatigue and everything like that, that is all you can process. One direction is optimal. Two is pushing it, but two at the maximum.
What did the fighter say? Can you give me a pen and paper so I can write this down?
Give me a couple more minutes so I can read this book he just gave me, you know? It's insane. Just talking and talking, like, how many people don't know how to corner and don't understand that whole dynamic, you know? And I think fighters understand it. If you're a fighter, you're a former fighter, and you've been in that corner, I think they understand it because they know how much you can soak in, how much you can't soak in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get it, man.
Yeah, I love Buddy McGirt in the corner. Like, I like how come on, baby, you got a baby. I just like the way he talks too. I'm a big fan of Buddy McGirt as a trainer.
Best corner man of all time. I'll tell you right now, best corner man of all time, Chris Eubank Sr. Who in the world comes dressed in a just to the nine, son? Is over there in the he doesn't wear the uniform or whatever. He wears a suit, like sharp suit coming in there, man. That's the guy right there.
A lot of people don't like this trainer, but I love his speeches during the first Sergey Kovalev Andre Ward fight.
Teddy Atlas.
No, I love the Virgil Hunter when he goes like this to Dre. He goes, Robinson got up, Leonard got up, Ali got up. You got up. Go out there and get it. I love that, man. Guy like that, I could run through a brick wall for.
You're talking about Teddy Atlas, son.
I don't like Teddy Atlas.
We go where the heat is. We're like firemen because we know when we're in the heat, we're in the right spot, son.
Robinson got up. Leonard got up. You got up.
Get out of here.
That was the best speech, man.
Wasn't Joshua talking about Virgil Hunter?
Yeah, he talked about him, too.
That's the worst move possible.
You don't like Virgil Hunter?
No. Not even a little bit. I think that Virgil Hunter was great with Andre Ward. I just think those two had that mesh going. You know, they knew each other so well. But
he's ready to be whooped. He's ready to be whooped.
Virgil Hunter, anybody else. We've seen him take good fighters and just tank them, son.
Atlas, the worst thing Atlas ever said in the corner.
How dare you?
We can bring your father back to life. What is this fucking? What are you, a witch doctor? You're gonna bring?
He was motivating the dude, man.
You're gonna bring friggin' Alexander Povetkin's father back to life.
There it is, right there. Teddy Atlas is the GOAT, son.
Worst. He's the worst.
Best ever. If by worst you mean best ever, you're 100% right.
As soon as the camera's on him, he goes through that friggin' those theatrics. I don't like him.
Motivator, boy. Straight up motivator.
Talking about firemen, bringing people back to life.
Remember we sat down at Michael Moore's corner. He said, "You want me to go fight?" He said, "At least I'll give it. At least I'll go in there and fight."
Then he grabs a cell phone back in the 90s. Remember they had those brick
called his son.
Yeah. His son's on the phone, Michael.
He
cried. What kind of man would call a 5-year-old boy at 12 o'clock at night and wake him up just so he could talk to his father who's fighting?
You know he was watching the fight. You know his kid wasn't sleeping, son.
Kid should be in bed. He's 5.
Oh, stop it! If dad was on TV,
did you let your kid stay up till 12 at night when they were 5?
If I was on TV, yeah.
Cut it out.
You know the guy's on TV fighting for the championship.
Can't stand
of course.
The worst.
Oh, Atlas is.
It's a big deal. Like, imagine Atlas ordering a sub at Subway. Let's do an invitation to Atlas ordering a sub at Subway. Yeah, I like a turkey on club, bun toasted, and mayo. Like, he makes a big deal out of everything, this guy.
He's the GOAT, son. You can't hate on him. Can't hate on him, son.
Get him out of here.
Rider of the Storm said Teddy Atlas is garbage. He's the worst as a commentator. Who do you like better, Teddy Atlas or Sergio Mora?
Easy, Sergio Mora.
Oh, come on. Now, I know
you did you notice? Did you notice Sergio Mora? Listen to this now. Did you notice Sergio Mora did not say check hook once last
time? You know why? Because they busted him on. They told him to shut up. That's what they did. I said, hey, he doesn't even know what a check hook is. And he looked it up, and I was right. He doesn't know. That's why he stopped saying it. Sucks. Tim Bradley, worse. I'd rather have Teddy Atlas over Tim Bradley any day.
I don't like Tim Bradley. He's bad.
Yeah. What do they get Roy Jones? I like Roy Jones, too. I like Roy Jones.
I like Andre Ward. I like Roy Jones.
I like Jim Lampley. Am I the only guy that likes Jim Lampley?
I mean,
you're hating on Jim Lampley. Look at you, man.
He kind of grows on you.
You're hating on him.
He kind of grows on you.
I love Jim Lampley. I think he's really good.
I love that Showtime crew, though. I like that Showtime crew. I know you don't like.
All right. Mauro's better on you. Mauro's better on Bellator and stuff like that.
You like Mauro? You don't like Mauro's like one-liners, though?
Not really. They're kind of corny, but it kind of makes him. You know what I mean?
Kind of grew on me.
Abner
Meyers is getting. He's not bad. See, I love Paulie Malignaggi. You don't like?
See, Paulie. I hate Paulie Malignaggi.
I like Paulie. He's like one of my favorite.
He's horrible.
He's one of my favorite commentators, man. He was so good.
I can't stand Paulie Malignaggi. I'm glad he made those comments to get off the air. I don't like.
Can't say that. Come on.
I just did. That's horrible. Just did.
That's something else.
I'm doing
we'll
it now.
That's something else we'll have to talk about at HR.
HR meeting.
Can't take shots at people. You can't take shots at people in the industry. Meanwhile, I'm cussing out Teddy. Yeah,
I know, right?
But he's not in the industry anymore. They let him go.
Yeah,
they let him go.
He's Ryder of the Storm says Sergio Mora forgets what he's talking about mid sentence. Knocked out by Kenny says, "What did you guys score the fight last night?" I didn't score the fight, but clearly Chuck Machito won.
I gave Martinez one round.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, if I was scoring it, it would have probably been like a 9-3 fight somewhere in there.
I gave Martinez the fifth. Could I have given him the first?
I was going to say, you probably could have gave him the first round. You know what I'm saying? First round for sure. But, again, that round could have went either way. I think he was outpunched in just about every round. I think he was outpunched in every round.
The rounds that you could have given Martinez were swing rounds. So
Yeah, it was if you wanted to score to whitewash with Chocolatito, I think you probably could have, you know. But it's all in, you know, kind of what you're looking at. You know, yeah, Kenny said he had 9-3 or 8-4. Yeah.
You got to respect your scorecard, man.
Yeah,
I don't hate that.
Yeah, by the way, I don't hate that scorecard. Yeah.
I had Pacquiao Bradley 7-5 for Bradley. Bradley was getting death threats. So was I, because I had the fight for Bradley, too.
Yeah.
They were coming after me.
Yeah, you deserve death threats for having that fight for Bradley, I tell you that. Because that fight was not even close, son.
At it 7-5.
Yeah.
I'll go to the grave.
That's because you won money on the fight.
I did. You know, I'll tell you a story. This is the God's honest truth. Me and my brother were watching the fight, right?
Yeah.
And I told him to bet on Bradley, and I bet on Bradley. We got like a plus 400 on Bradley, right? So right after the fight was over, my brother says, he goes, "You fucking asshole. Why'd you tell me to bet on this guy? You know, I can't fucking." And the new great big show. They started hugging me. Like, right in mid-sentence, he's fucking cussing. Then he starts hugging me. And then he's like, "Oh, yeah." And then he went back and watched the fight the next day. He goes, "Bradley won this fight.
Bradley won it easy.
I don't know what these guys are talking about." That commentary. Fucking Harold Lederman gave Tim Bradley one round in that fight. That was
all he deserved.
Cut it out.
He was getting pounded in that
fight.
Cut it out. And if you don't believe me, just go look at that second fight if you don't believe me. Because it was the same thing.
That's a straw man argument.
Same thing as the first fight.
What a false equivalency. That's like saying, "Oh, when I was 5, I got beat up in the sandbox by the girl in the lunch truck." You can't say that.
804, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's happening, Corey?
Where you been, man? I had to put your face on a milk carton. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. Where you been?
Where you been? You been working? You been grinding?
I got some good news, y'all.
Uh-oh.
I'm buying a house.
What's up?
Did you get a promotion? Oh, fuck. That's awesome.
That's awesome, dude.
I'm so happy for you,
man.
I'm so happy for you, man. You going to put a gym in the basement or what?
I don't know, man. I'm going to be kind of in the country. I got an acre of land, so I don't know if I'm going to be going to the gym every day like I am. I might have to.
No, are you going to put a gym in the basement of the house, as I'm asking you?
Oh, I don't have a basement. It's three bedroom, one bath.
All right.
Nice, man.
One of the bedrooms could be a spare room for the Beeb when he visits, or no?
Yeah, what about us, man?
Man,
we might need a place to stay, you know what I mean?
Come by anytime. The Beeb and Eric can come by anytime.
Take Lois down there with
you. But Chad, man, I want to talk to
you. Yeah, she's easy to pack,
man,
in the trunk, you know?
Go ahead.
But look, though, I want to talk this boxing, man. Martinez, last night, man, I really was I really thought he was going to win. I thought Chocolatito was on his way out. I'm going to be honest, I got that fight wrong. I thought Martinez was going to knock him out in the ninth round. I got that completely wrong. I really think the thing that people need to talk more about is how good of a trainer is Eddie Reynoso, man. I'm being honest with you guys, man, because the more I think about it, the more I feel bad.
Now we're going to start with this.
I'm just being honest, man, because Ryan Garcia said he was not there, and Canelo Alvarez did not say Ryan Garcia was
wrong. Now
we're
taking this guy's word for it.
Yay, man, because I'm just saying, man. So, but listen.
Trainer of the year.
Eddie Reynoso has gotten so much – has gained so much weight since he's been on his rise, man. I mean, this guy used to be somewhat in shape when he first started with Canelo Alvarez's career, man.
That's cold-blooded.
Why are you fat-shaming the guy? He's living the good life, man. He's making money now. He's eating.
Listen, here's where I'm coming from.
Food anymore now. What is this?
Here where I'm coming from, okay? you've gained all this weight. You've got all these gold chains on and these ring gold rings on and all this stuff. You didn't wear any of that in the beginning of Canelo's career. And so what I'm saying
is, no money.
Maybe he is enjoying the life. And it's like, why would he, go out of his way to train Ryan Garcia so hard and be there every single day for Ryan Garcia when he's going to make so much more money with Canelo Alvarez and probably doesn't even have to do as much, And my personal opinion is about the situation is I think Ryan Garcia does have a leg to stand on. Obviously, he says things outlandish sometimes to get, but if you listen to Canelo's interview, he never said that Ryan Garcia was lying. He said, Ryan Garcia wants to go there. Like, he doesn't want to go there. Like, okay, you're not telling us that he's wrong, though. I mean, he said plain as day, Eddie Reynoso wasn't there for like two, three weeks, He wasn't training him at
Canelo
all.
Canelo said that Canelo said this. Eddie Reynoso has time for people that want to work. If you don't want to work, then he doesn't have time for you. You can't come to the gym and stay 20 minutes and then leave and then expect people to invest time in you if you're only going to stay 20 minutes. How long do you stay at the gym when you go to the gym?
15-20 minutes.
Man,
I'm there for 2 hours minimum.
I'm
there for 2 hours minimum, man. I put in work, baby. I don't go to the gym for 20 minutes. I don't do anything for 20 minutes. Everything I do with a purpose.
Not what I heard.
I may take a shit for 20 minutes, but that's about it.
Lois said 20 minutes is really stretching it.
20 minutes,
3 was really stretching it.
Wild, So, look, this is what I wanted to say. So, with that going on, I got that fight wrong. There was some other fights this weekend, man. I didn't even get to talk to y'all last week about the Josh Taylor fight. I tried to call in, but it was at the end of the show. Josh Taylor didn't look good. I still want to see what Regis Progress can do at 140. We got Ramirez that fought this weekend. He was at 140 as well. He's still staying, and he's going to stay at 140. I think he's a problem at 140 because a lot of the bigger guys and a lot of the name guys are leaving the 140-pound division, and he still wants that get back with Josh Taylor. Ramirez does. So, I just think that, Ramirez – right now, he looks like he's locked in. He did get hit a little bit too much for me Friday night. I still think that, Pedraza, being at – and that shows you guys, like I've been saying on this show for over 3 to 4 years now, Tank Davis has real power. Like, I feel like Pedraza, could have got knocked out last night if Ramirez had more power. He was getting hit flush the whole night. But it was just one of those things. I don't know, man. Ramirez's power might not be there. They said that's, one of the last things to go. Ramirez is getting up there in age. I feel like if he doesn't have that power at 140, how is he going to keep these big boys off of him? Being honest.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Corey. That Tank Davis win over Pedraza is aging pretty well now, isn't it? Because you got
it
a lot of guys
so
going the distance
now,
with Pedraza when Tank stopped him.
Yeah.
It looks so
good. That win over
Pedraza,
it's aging really well.
Yep, and just like that, just like the win that Shakur Stevenson had over Jorge Gonzalez, I think that was a good win as well. Gonzalez won last night. I believe he stopped the guy. As you guys know, Shakur Stevenson was dating Jorge Gonzalez's sister at the time of their fight. So, she had to pick, and she chose Shakur Stevenson's side. We all talked about that back then, which was crazy. And he's bouncing back with his father in his corner. And, maybe he can make some noise at the lighter weight divisions. But, Friday night's card was pretty good. Saturday's the zone card was really good as well. You had all the stars coming out, Benavidez. I'm not sure, you guys. I just want to ask before I head out, man. I seen Benavidez at the fight. Do you guys know if Benavidez and Canelo seen each other? Because they were both at the fight. Now I'm hearing that David Benavidez's training camp is in San Diego. Canelo's training camp has always been in San Diego. And so, how big is San Diego?
San Diego's big. I've been to San Diego. San Diego's nice. San Diego's one of my favorite places to be in, like,
I mean, there's no way they're running into each other, to be honest with you.
No, San Diego's big, bro. San Diego's big.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge. I mean,
well,
even if it's small,
call,
I mean, it's not like a small town.
Well, look,
all right, Corey.
Call, get... Thank you, man. Y'all have a great night, man.
All right, you
congratulations,
too.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, congratulations on that, man. That's awesome.
Put those Ryan Garcia pom-poms down.
Oh, stop it. You know, you just got to take things too far. You know what I mean? Got to take things too far. Let me see if I can bring this up. I'm not sure if I can or not. There you go. Does it look like Babe Soup Nazi?
That guy does look like me a little bit.
He does kind of look like you, doesn't he?
Wow.
Yeah, like if you had like one of those like 70s style mustaches.
He doesn't have the Beeb sideburns though. See how the Beeb has these classic sideburns like Danny Terrio back in the day from Disco Viva?
Danny Terrio.
These Danny Terrio sideburns.
Danny
yeah.
Terrio.
A lot of people tell me, man, shave these sideburns off. I won't do it, man. That's my trademark.
That was, you know, that guy was the reason for Saturday Night Fever. That's what it was based on, loosely based on that guy's life.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Terrio, that's your boy.
Night Fever, Night Fever.
We know how to do it. That's still one of my favorite movies.
That's a great movie, man.
Awesome movie, right?
I don't like when you go, like, he's at the table eating dinner. And he goes
remember
to get,
we
like,
had the sheet
foot.
On? Remember we had the sheet on when he's eating dinner because he didn't want to get anything on his clothes?
And then he goes to get another pork chop, and his father slaps his hand. One pork chop! What?
His dad wasn't playing around, was he?
That's hilarious.
His dad was
my
old school.
Man.
His dad was old
like
school.
Like in the old
days
when the beef tried to grab another meatball. One meatball!
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Shit. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.